He made mention of the fact that we're about to embark upon an excursion into God's Word. I like that. You know, I love those kind of statements. And then he made mention of getting kernels from the Word of God. On one occasion, I was talking about the Word of God in an audience, and I talked about the nuggets of gold that could be dug from the Word of God. And this older woman, she got mad at me. And I thought, why is she so mad at me? You don't need money out of the Bible. Oh, well. Boy, I mean, she was mad. I mean, she was upset that I even thought about money in the Bible. And, oh, well, you know, I didn't even try to explain it to her. Just get myself in deeper. We have been studying. Notice that is past tense. We have been studying Genesis chapter by chapter in this book. And this morning we were supposed to, if that's what I decided to teach on, Genesis 3. But I've ditched that. Okay, this is a gospel meeting, and I've got some other lessons that we're going to talk about. So everybody who prepared, I'm glad you did. And you've got another week to study. And Jim said that he's got a dandy of a lesson for us out of Genesis 3 next week. So we may just start him off with that. Okay, he may blow my whole class. But we'll do that. But we're glad you're here. I taught a class not long ago when I was at Eastwood in Paris, and it was entitled The Development of the Inner Man. And what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to work on a book that is good for new Christians, and talking about the 12 qualities that a new Christian needs to possess. Okay, I've got three books for new Christians. One of them is the 12 key doctrines that new Christians need to understand. The second one is this one, the qualities that a Christian needs to understand. And then the third one is a series of lessons that I preached here. I haven't developed the book yet, and it was entitled What We've Become. I don't know if you remember that series or not, but What We've Become. When you become a Christian, you become something. Okay, one of the things we should become is a Christian. Okay, what does that mean? We've become a stone in the temple. And so what does that mean? So, but anyway, that's all beside the point. In that class, Developing the Inner Man, I allowed the class to give me five key qualities they thought every Christian needs to possess. And it was amazing. There were probably about 50 or 60 people in the class, and they responded, and they were like, 40 key qualities that group had given me. Now I had to limit those to 12, okay, 40 qualities. But what was interesting was there was one quality that stood out head and shoulders over all the other qualities. An individual said, this is one that must be possessed by every Christian. What do you think that quality was? Love. That was the key quality. The number one, okay? It stood out head and shoulders above every other. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. And folks, Paul makes mention to us that love is the very first quality that you and I must possess. And that is the most important quality. You can do everything else right, but if you don't have love, guess what? It means nothing. Listen to what he says. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Folks, you can be an orator. You can be the most marvelous statesman in all the world. But if you don't have love, you're just rattling brass and just pounding cymbals. That's all you are. You're just popping off at the mouth, basically. If you don't have love. Notice what he goes on to say. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am... You can finish that. Nothing. I'm nothing. Now, what's interesting, in this context, the Apostle Paul is talking about spiritual gifts, folks. Okay? And he lists three spiritual gifts, does he not? Prophecy, knowledge and faith. He said you can possess all of these spiritual gifts. You can have all of these wonderful abilities that God has given to you. And if you don't have love, guess what?
You're
next. Next part. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Now folks, most of the time, if you have a member of the church who is a very giving individual, right? Or if you had an individual who said, you know, I would give myself to die for the cause of Christ, you would think, boy, now there's a committed person. But did you know you can do those kind of things without having love in your heart? And Paul says if you do them without love, it means what? It means nothing. Love is the most important quality that you and I can possess. The most important quality. Now, a question that I ask is this, and we'll just run through the list fairly quickly. Who are we to love?
Everyone.
Oh, that's a blind answer. Okay. We are to love everyone, aren't we?
We're to love Christ.
Okay, we're to love God, are we not? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mark 12, verses 29 and 30. Who else are we to love?
Neighbors.
Yes, we are to love our neighbors, aren't we? The Bible says, and the second is likened to it, namely this, love thy neighbor as thyself. Same passage there, guys. Who else are we to love?
Self.
Yes, we're to love self. Notice what he says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Nothing wrong in my loving myself. Nothing wrong in me respecting myself. In fact, if I don't love myself, I really don't need to be loving anybody else. You know what? And there's some people I watch love themselves, and I don't want them loving me. You know? Isn't it true? Because they don't really love themselves. And so, yes, if we have a healthy love for self, then we can truly love other individuals. Who else are we to love? Our brethren, yes, we're to love our brethren, aren't we? Love one another, Jesus says, doesn't he? John 13, verse 34. And then somebody else said, who?
Enemies.
Yeah, oh, there's a lovely group to love. But he did, he says to what? Love thy enemies. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. So there's one big group that he says, and we don't talk about it very much, but the Bible says also, love the brotherhood. What's the brotherhood? The church. The church how? That's found in 1 Peter 2:17, folks. Love the brotherhood. When we say the church, what do we mean by that? Yeah, we're talking about the church universal, the entirety of the church. And what's amazing to me is most members of the church don't want to know what's going on in the brotherhood. They don't want to know what's going on worldwide. Okay, I just want to be bothered with my little congregation. Don't bother me with anything else. Folks, we need to know about the brotherhood everywhere. Love the who? Love the brotherhood. You know, how can you truly love somebody if you don't even know what's going on in it? Can you? It's hard to do, isn't it? So love the brotherhood. True or false? After having said all of this, do we always make love our priority?
False.
We don't do it. We just don't do it. And that's sad, isn't it? And another thing that's interesting is this, that oftentimes love is grossly, and you can capitalize that, put it in yellow, underline it, and put it in bold. Love is grossly misunderstood. You know that?
Amen.
Grossly misunderstood. For some, love is nothing more than a feel-good emotion, isn't it? That's all it is. If I feel good about you, if you make me feel good, then guess what? Oh, I just love you, you know? And if I don't feel good about you, and if you don't make me feel good inside, then guess what? I don't love that person. You mean love is just reduced to your emotions? And that's it? Folks, that's grossly misunderstanding love. Do we love that way with our enemies? Is that the way? Ooshy-gooshy feelings?
No.
You know, Brother Herm used to say, boys, he was real stern. He stood up here, wouldn't move. He's about 72. Boys, it's hard to love a snake in the grass. And that's true, isn't it? It's hard to love somebody who doesn't love you. It's difficult. You don't have these warm feelings. You don't have this, ooh, look at him, I can't wait to see my enemy. You know, you don't have that. But I'm still supposed to what? Love. For some, love is nothing more than
sexual.
That wasn't where I was going, but I'll sit down and let Jess explain that point. But that's true, isn't it? Love to some is just a sexual act. As long as we're having sexual relationships with one another, then we love one another. The minute sex stops, then guess what? We don't love each other anymore. It's really not love, it's what?
Lust.
That's what it is. And part of that's what a lot of young people need to say, and maybe even some older people. I lust you, not love you. Okay? Because when the lust runs out, they're gone, aren't they? And they go find somebody else to lust on. Isn't that right? Okay, so that's true. Love for some, though, just means the toleration and the acceptance of sin. Doesn't it? If you stand against sin, if you preach against sin, if you discipline sin, what's the one thing many people will say? Boy, y'all sure aren't very loving. That is mean. Isn't that right? What are we supposed to do? Just overlook it? Put it under the rug? Act like it doesn't exist? Accept it? That's the loving thing to do? That's what some people believe, isn't it?
Many politicians today are trying to get us through. Look at sexuals, they're all right.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with them. Let them get married.
Sure. And they base it on love.
Yeah.
I mean, really and truly, they really do. Folks, let me ask you this. Is love something that I just have in my mind, I say with my lips, but it never acts?
No.
But you see, that's the way some people think that love is, don't they? As long as I think I love you, and as long as I tell you I love you, I can do zero for you, and I love you. Really. So, it's just a what? It's just a mental assent and a verbal acknowledgement without any action whatsoever. It's not behavior in the minds of some people. And then the last thing that some think is that it is possible and that it is okay to practice love in an hypocritical way. What do I mean by that? A hypocritical way.
You don't practice or preach.
Okay. How would that happen, though?
You say you love them, but then you just turn around and ignore them or won't do anything for them or,
okay,
or help them.
Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. Look what Peter says about love, especially with our brethren. Verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. What's unfeigned mean? Unhypocritical love of the brethren. Okay? Not a feigned love. I tell you I love you, and then I go around talking behind your back, running you down. Okay, but when I see you, oh, I love you. Such a wonderful person. And then I leave, and guess what? You're the topic at the dinner table. right? And how bad he is, and how wicked he is, and how bad are the things he does. And then when you see, oh, hey, Brother So-and-so, good to see you. Just a great man. Folks, that's not love. That is not love. Did you know that individuals even have a misunderstanding about love when it comes to God? When they think, when individuals in our world today say that God is love, you know what they mean by that? God just wraps his arms around everybody and hugs them and loves them and understands all their problems, all their sins, and it's just not a big deal. I've been reading that all this week on Facebook from some young people. You know that? All this week. It's been amazing. So the question is, where do we learn to love? You know, if love's not all these things that are misconceptions, then where do I learn what true love really is?
Relationships.
Turn your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 13, folks. Because here Paul gives us a picture of what true love really is. I find it interesting. Paul gives us 16 qualities of love. 16.
I die of constant.
Okay?
Great love. Okay.
So let's look at these qualities for just a minute. Charity, suffering long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseen, seeketh not alone, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never fails. Folks, Paul says, here is love. You want to be a good lover? I'm talking about a godly love. Here are the qualities. Here's the way it manifests itself. Here's the way it behaves toward other individuals. Folks, if this is a picture of divine love, then I need to get my head in this list and come to an understanding of what these words mean. And I need to make dead certain that I practice them in my love relationships with my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what? So what we want to do for a few minutes is we want to look at this list. Let's talk about some of the definitions of these words. Okay?
Yeah.
the literal definition, and I love this definition, is this: to be long-spirited. I like that. To be long-spirited. You heard people have a short temper or a short fuse?
Yeah.
Folks, guess what they're not? They are not long-suffering, are they? Well, you need to go change. Yeah. You know, you need to put another fuse in that fuse box. Don't you? You know, because the Bible says, I want you to be long-spirited. What's another word you might use for long-suffering?
Patience.
Patient, yes, patient. And Jesse is right. Here's what Thayer says: to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. To be mild and slow in avenging. Folks, it is not supposed to be our nature to immediately want to get back at somebody. Is it?
No.
Number two, kind. Charity suffered long and is kind. Take the D off that word, and what do you have?
Yes.
Yeah. What do we mean with, what's the definition of kin?
Yeah.
Your relatives. Now, if you come from a decent home, folks, right? Relatives treat each other in a kind that can be well. Folks, that is how you're supposed to treat others. How I would treat my brother, how I would treat my sister, how I would treat my mom, how I would treat my dad. That's the way I ought to be treating other people. See, that's where that word kind comes from. Kin. K-I-N. Kind. To show oneself mild. To be kind. To use kindness. Okay? I've got another definition, and it will come back through the course of the entire meeting. You'll eventually hear it. Okay? We'll take it now. Okay? You have to come back. We've got six lessons. Okay? So you have to, I don't know which one it is. You just have to come back. I do know. Notice this next one. Charity endeth not. What's that word mean? The end not. Be jealous, okay? In another lesson, we talked about the difference between jealousy and envy.
Not to want what another person has.
Okay? Envy is even worse than that. The word envy comes from a Greek word that means to heat up. So we're talking about, in its beginning stages, the passions of an individual. Okay? That's where it comes from. It's where envy originates from within me. And it's like, I get hot inside. Okay? Now, what do we mean by that? I get hot inside.
Angry.
There is a feeling of anger that it's mixed with, but it's different than anger.
Despise,
okay? In fact, it means, Thayer says that filled with envy, hatred, and anger, all in one ball, okay? It's just envy manifests itself in a way that I don't like what you have, and I'm going to do everything I can to take it away. See, jealousy is just that concept of, I don't like what you have, okay? And I wish I had it. Okay, that's jealousy. Envy, on the other hand, is worse than that because it will act to keep the person from having what makes that person angry that the other one's got. Okay?
The two women before Solomon gave an example. On the part of the one who.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's a good example. I mean, notice what the Jewish rulers did to Jesus. Right? The Bible says they did it out of envy. And even Pilate knew that. Envy. You see, what did Jesus have? Jesus had position. Jesus had prestige. Jesus had power among the people. Jesus had all these things that the Jewish rulers wanted, didn't they? Well, their envy, their wasn't just jealousy. You know, oh, we wish she had what he has. Oh, no. We're so mad and so upset and so angry, we're going to take from him what he's got so that he doesn't have that anymore. You see, that's the way envy acts. It's amazing how envy can creep up in our minds, isn't it? Okay? That can be very, very careful. Notice number four. Malter not itself. What does that mean? Then what?
Parade itself.
Okay. Anybody else?
Try to elevate oneself vis-a-vis others.
Okay.
Put yourself up above people.
Okay. Good. Anybody else?
Not selfish.
Not selfish. Okay. Stronger kind of brag. A brag. B-R-A-G-G-A-R-T. To brag. To boast. To boast on yourself. Self display. Listen to this. I hope you're not listening close, but these are big words. Okay, but I love this definition. Employing rhetorical embellishments in extolling oneself excessively. Boy, now there's an apple. You know?
Yeah.
See, an individual who vaults himself, guess what? Let everybody know how wonderful and great and how superb. Y'all are just all going to be glad you got this. It's like you want to grow up. That's awesome. But there are individuals who like to go around telling you how great, how wonderful, how powerful, and how mighty they are. Aren't they? We have to be very careful. Do not engage in that bumping of yourself. Notice this next one. Puffed up. Well, there's a good one. What's that mean? Puffed up.
I'm better than you are.
Prideful.
Yes. Prideful. Literally means to blow up, to inflate. Brother, I'm not sure what you're saying. I don't mean to be nice. I don't care. Had an instructor, school preacher. He was brand new, man. First semester at the school preacher. Okay? Well, you know, you get to be asked to be a teacher at the school of preachers. Well, that's pretty good stuff, you know. And for a period of time, he was kind of hard. And when it was his time to speak, it didn't matter where he was going to speak, okay, he put his Bible under his arm. That's the way he walked up to the pulpit. Not going to say, sit down, you old baldy thing. Who are you? Walk up to a pulpit like that. I am so great that I love to speak. You know? Sit. You're just a walking. You're just human. You put your breeches on just like I did this morning. You know? Unbelievable. But there's some people that like to cover themselves up, bear oneself lawfully. Number six, folks, watch this one. Doth not behave itself unseen. What's that? Unseen. Margaret definition. Margaret.com. That's good though. Okay?
I knew what she said.
She said you get what you get. This is what he learned in preschool. You get what you get and you don't pitch a fit.
There you go. You get what you get, don't pitch a fit. That's pretty good. Okay? The definition is this: unbecoming. Do not behave yourself unbecoming. And what got me is every definition says the same thing. And what got me about that is this: apparently, when you tell somebody, don't behave unbecomingly, they know what that means. You know? And yet, I've seen even Christians act unbecoming. Folks, there have been individuals, men in men's meeting, who have gotten up and gone fist to fist in a men's meeting. That's a little unbecoming. I heard a congregation once they announced the firing and just walked out. Right there in the middle of a Sunday morning, a scene. That's how it's coming. You see, Christians don't act that way. There's a right way to act. And love acts how? Seen, not how. Not unseen. Okay? Seeketh not her what? Her own. Hardest one almost released. Do you know that? Right here is the passage from which the carnal definition for agape love comes. Did you know that? Agape love is a love that what? Always seeks the welfare, the best interest of another. Seeks not her what? Her own. That's hard. Because I'm a person who's consumed with what? The self. And what I want and what I need. Okay? People choose churches based on what? Not what they can give, but what they can get at that church. Just have a program first. And so, church has turned into a competition among churches to see who can have the most preachers, the most ministers, the most ministries, the most programs to fill everybody's need. If you got all these thousands of programs, guess what? You got thousands of people. If you're asking you come in to serve and give and sacrifice and attend and take part and teach, that's just too much for me. I don't think I can do that. I mean, I just never did anything out of it. Folks, you don't even understand what Christianity is about. You know, you don't understand love, because love never seeks her own. He is not easily what? Provoked. He is not easily provoked. Sharpened alongside, exasperate. The irritant provoke, arouse to anger, make angry, to exasperate, to burn with anger. It is not easy provoked. There's another toughness. Really. Mm-hmm. One of the hardest emotions that man deals with is, guess what? Anger. One of the most difficult emotions that we have to deal with as human beings. Okay? Very easy to get angry, isn't it? It's getting worse. Isn't. I don't have to get on the road anymore. You'll get road rage in a heartbeat. You know? Light turns red, you don't get off that thing in the first hundredth of a second, horns start blowing. Why? I can't stand it. You know? And then they fly around you and start, you know, acting like you're deaf or something. Anger, folks. That's all it is. It's just anger. Thinketh no evil. Listen to this. Does not take an inventory of that which is worthless, depraved, or injurious. Thayer says, does not take an account or make an account of that which is troublesome, injurious, pernicious, destructive, baneful. You know what we like to do? We like to have our file cabinet filled about the bad behaviors of our brothers and sisters in Christ, don't we? And especially if I kind of get it in for them. Right? Then I start looking. I start developing my what? My file. And at first, that file is private, isn't it? And it's not too long till my intimate, close associates hear about the file. And we start discussing our files with one another. And then occasionally I'll open up that file and I'll just let it out to everybody so they can see it. Folks, love what? Doesn't take anything for it. Doesn't take it. Thinketh no evil. There.
We hear the phrase today, "Blessed the judgment."
condone sin. That's not love. And I can't believe 40-something minutes is already gone. Unbelievable. I want you to study this list of sins because I've got something else I want to do real quick. Okay? We may mention at the start that, yes, love begins in the mind. Yes, love can be an emotion. It doesn't have to be, but it can be. Love does reveal itself verbally. I can tell you that I love you. But, folks, love's always active. Okay? I'm going to run through a list of verses. That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to read them. Okay? I want you to listen to how active love is. Okay? But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Any action in that? Bless, do good, pray. If you love me, keep my commandments. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Guess who spoke those words? Jesus. He had no problems keeping the commands of God. Greater love hath no man than this, that he tells him that he loves him, that a man lay down his life for his friends. God committed his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Folks, there's the love. It wasn't just opening up heaven and saying, I love you guys. Shutting heaven again. Out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Both Paul said my heart is grieved, and I wrote a letter to you. Why? Because I love you. I am glad to spend and do spend for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. For brethren, you have not been called into liberty. You have been called into liberty. Only you not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but I love what? Serve one another. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and what? Gave himself for it. Good. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, your work of love, labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Father. For we have great joy and consolation in my love, because the vows of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Thereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoso hath this world's good and sinned his brother hath me, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, either in tongue, but in deed and truth. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, with him. Above all these things, have perfect charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Folks, these verses tell me love is what?
Active.
It's not passive. It's not looking at me and telling me, look, you love me. That's okay. We got more to do in our love than that. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, the Lord make you increase and abound in your love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Philippians 1:9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more, listen to this, in knowledge and all judgment. Folks, love is something that originates in the
and the knowledge of man. Knowledge of freedom. Thank you.